Title of today's sermon again is what? Temple of God. Let's start today's sermon from Romans chapter 12. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. You see, one of the things that is very important to us in this church is to give you the truth. Yeah? The whole truth. And nothing but what? The truth. Amen. We don't want to excite you. We don't want to deceive you. We just want to give you the truth. Because Jesus said one something in John chapter 8. He said, and you shall know what? The truth. And the truth shall make you free. And before someone says, oh, you know, what does it mean by the truth? It defines it, the verse before. He said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. So we know that we know the truth from his word. And that truth is a truth that makes us free. So being free is not just a function of someone praying for you. That can be a trigger. That can be a starter. Someone prayed for you, yeah? You can receive deliverance. You can receive healing. Yeah? However, if you are going to stay free, you need what? The truth. The truth is what will make you free indeed. The prayer starts you on the journey, but the truth consolidates you in the victory. Amen. Say with me, I shall know the truth. Say, I desire to know the truth. Because the truth shall make me free. Amen. Just give me a minute. Amen. So Romans chapter 12 verse 1 to 2, yes? Who is ready to read? New King James Version, New Living Translation, or any other translation you have. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Temple of God. Yes? Who is ready? Yes. I hope to go around. I hope everyone can have a go at reading. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Go for it. Tell us the version.
New King James. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said you have to present your bodies. Yeah, as what? A living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. That means that if it's not holy, it is not acceptable. Amen. Amen. That means that not just anything is acceptable. Amen. God has a prescription. God is selective on what he likes. Another way of saying that, God doesn't like rubbish. Amen. Anybody here likes rubbish food? You paid £100 in a restaurant when you went on holiday. Anybody in that category? Okay, £50. And you ate the food. And your stomach was, as you were paying, your tummy was just unhappy. You felt as if you had been cheated of your hard-earned money. Yeah? It was rubbish, what? Food. Amen. Hallelujah. God does not just take anything. He's not a beggar. Amen. Amen. He is God. Hallelujah. And he wants us to present ourselves or give ourselves to him in a way that is acceptable. Hallelujah. And for it to be acceptable, it has to be holy. Because God himself is what? Holy. Amen. I want you to have that mindset in terms of how you serve God. It is not enough for you to be born again. When you are born again, you only started the journey. Amen? You see, to be born into this world, yeah, is to enter life. That's physical life. So when any baby is born, they started living. Are you with me? But that's not all there is to life. Amen? The baby has to feed. Hello. Yeah? Moving from milk to semi-solids to, you know what I mean? The baby has to grow. A baby that is only feeding and not growing, you cannot say they are living. There's something wrong. The baby has to grow. The baby has to develop. Yeah? And even when you are full grown as an adult, the fact that you just have breath in your lungs is not enough proof that you are alive. Someone has breath in their lungs, yeah? But they can't move. They can't move their leg. They can't move their hands. You talk to them, they're just looking at you like a vegetable. Yeah? They are alive, but they're not living. Are you with me? To be alive and to be living. Yeah? It starts with the life to be born, but that's not the end. Amen. So you see, your journey to heaven, your journey to eternal life, yeah, is not a journey of complacency. Amen. It's a journey of engagement. Hallelujah. You engage with God. Hallelujah. You continue to engage. That's the only guarantee that you will make it. If you disengage, you've deceived yourself. You are not on your way. And I have to tell you in clear terms, you are not on your way. To make it to heaven, you have to continue to abide in Christ. John 15, he said, abide in me. Yeah? As the branch is in the vine, that's the stem, so also the stem is in the vine. That's the guarantee. If you abide in Christ, stay in Christ, stay in Him. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, look at them, say, stay, abide, dwell, engage in Christ. That is the guarantee. Don't ever deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Don't ever, ever, ever deceive yourself. That's why Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Christ must be the center that you are building your life upon. If you are building on any other thing, you are deceiving yourself. You are not on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. That's why he said, you are to present, when you come to Christ, you have to understand that now your body belongs to Christ. Hallelujah. You are not free to do whatever you like with your body. Well, you were free to do it before you came to Christ. But now you are in Christ. You have handed over the lordship of your life to Him. He's your Lord. Did you not say that? Did you not say that last week? He said, Jesus is your Lord. Amen. I mean at home. I don't mean it. Are you with me? He is the owner of your body. But much more, He's the owner of your life. Amen. You see, if I want to kick the devil out of my life, I have to live as though Jesus is the owner. I cannot in one way, on one side, live as though I am the owner and I am free to do whatever I like with my body and with my life. Then the next thing I'm calling Jesus to kick the devil away. If Jesus is Lord, He should be Lord. Are you with me? Now, when you allow Jesus to be truly Lord over your life and over your body, then you can say, Satan, you don't have any business here. Hallelujah. I'm totally for Jesus. Amen? That's why I say you are to present your body as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice, yeah, is something given away. Yeah? And of course, in the old times, when they sacrifice an animal, that animal is slaughtered, yeah? And killed. And then, if it was a Jewish setting, they have something they call a burnt sacrifice. So, nothing is even eaten. Everything is burnt. Totally given away. You don't even get a little barbecue. Amen. But now he says, that's not what God wants for you. Christ has died for you. Amen. Jesus died. Did Jesus not die for you? He has died. So God is not asking you to become a burnt what? Sacrifice. But what's he asking you? To be what? A living sacrifice. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Usually we quote 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. But we never read the context. Let's read the context of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Someone say, you know what? I'm born again. I'm a new creation. That's true. Absolutely true. Well, let's look at the context that will help you understand what 17 is saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Yes, let's have a reader. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Yes? Who's ready? Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 5, 15 to 17.
2 Corinthians 5, 15. Amplified. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impulses us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake.
Okay, let's stop there. 15. I want you to understand that context. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Yes, let's have another version. Just before I expect, thank you. Everyone, you get a turn at reading. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Please listen.
I'm reading from NKJV. And he died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
Amen. You don't say, you know what? I'm born again, I'm saved. You say, why? How do you know you're saved? Because you say, Christ died for me. And that is true. You could never save yourself. Amen? The only reason why Christ could save you is that he lived the perfect life. What's the perfect life? Let me see whether you've been listening to me. What is the perfect life? What's your definition of a perfect life? Any answer? You say someone has a perfect life. It's what?
Sinless.
It's life. Sinless. I mean, so some people, a perfect life is someone is stupendously rich. He's living in a mansion by the seaside. Retired at 40. But you see, it's nice, but it's not a perfect life. Someone like that could still be on their express road to hell. Amen. In fact, if your desire is to have that life, you are not really on your way to heaven. I'm sorry to say. Because desire itself reflects what is in your heart. That your heart is not right. You are going for comfort and pleasure. Yeah? Whereas Christ wants you to focus his heart on him. The perfect life is the sinless life, because the biggest problem of the human being is sin. So Christ came to do for us what we could never do. He lived without sin. That's the perfect life. Amen. I want that to sink in. You understand what you are aiming for. When we talk about perfection, what you are aiming for. Yeah? It's a life of victory over sin. Because that's the real problem behind all the other problems. Amen. And then he died the perfect death. Why does he say the perfect death? He died at great sacrifice. But he died the perfect death because he lived the perfect life. Let me explain. You see, it only takes a perfectly innocent person to die the perfect, to pay the perfect sacrifice. If he was sinful, he could not die the perfect death, because he's not totally innocent. But the totally innocent person was killed for a sin that was not his. You see, that's why it's a perfect death. It's perfect sacrifice. So Christ died for me. Say with me, say, Christ died for me. You know, I always tell people, I say, you know, when I was growing up, I had people say, you know what? Oh, are you stressing yourself? Are you so stressed? Are you the one that killed Jesus? Yeah? You've heard that before, yeah? Amen. I hope you can come to a point in your life that you can answer, yes, actually, I'm the one that killed Jesus. If you don't feel that way, you're not born again. I'm sorry. You have to understand. For you to be truly born again, you need to understand that Christ died for you. He died because of you. He died because of your sin. He died for your sin. You killed him. Someone said, oh no, it's the Jews that killed Jesus. Was he the Jews alone? Pontius Pilate, was he a Jew? The soldiers that drove a crown of thorns into his head and hit it with a reed, were they Jews? The ones that drove the nails into his hands, Jews? the crucifixion, Jews, it was both Jews and what? Gentiles. So by the time you had Jews and Gentiles, what do you get? The whole world. Because the Gentile is a non-Jew. Are you with me? We killed him. I killed him. You killed him. He died for me, to save me. So Christ died for me. So when you say Christ died for me, how that's personal to you? Because that's the foundation of your salvation. Do you understand that Christ Jesus, the righteous one, the innocent one, the Son of God, died for me? But stop, verse 15, that's saying that that is not the end. So say, I'm born again, praise God. I've confessed Jesus my Lord, praise God, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. No matter what I do, it's a big lie. The wages of sin is what? Anything that is born can die. Yeah? You know, like I've taught this last time. I said, if God told Adam, God said, Adam, the day that you eat this fruit, you shall surely die. What's that telling us? It means Adam was alive, isn't it? Can somebody die if he's not alive? So if Adam died spiritually, what was he before? He was alive spiritually. Amen. So something that is alive spiritually can die what? Spiritually. Amen. So now, he said Christ died for all. So that we would live. I'm explaining a living sacrifice to you. Christ died for all so that we would live. Should no longer live for ourselves. We should no longer live for our selfish interest. We should no longer live for our selfish ambition. Our selfish agenda. Many of us Christians, we are too selfish. That's why the church is not moving forward. And that's why the world is not moving forward. Because the world is just a reflection of the temperature of the church. Hallelujah. When the church is missing it, the world is going worse and worse. Because Bible says we are the light of the world. And we are the salt of the... When the salt has lost this savor. Remember, I didn't say taste. It's not about taste. It's about savor. Yeah, it's about the preserving power of salt. Not just about your food tasting nice. Amen? Anybody ever ate bacon? Anybody likes bacon? It's good. Do you know the history of bacon? What do you know about bacon? What?
Served with salt.
Yes. Bacon is salty, isn't it? Is it salty? Is your bacon salty? You're not sure. Amen. It's historical. Now it's the salt there is to preserve it. Yeah? That's why the history. Of course, now it become a taste, a flavor. But the salt there, historically, before the days of having a fridge and a freezer, was to preserve the meat to last longer. That's what salt does. Salt preserves. So the world now here is getting more and more corrupt morally, because the salt, the church, is losing what? Its savor. Now, as I was saying to someone yesterday, I said, when the church stop influencing the world as it should, as salt and light, they will start copying the world. Please understand me. See, when the salt loses its savor, do you know what you do to the salt? Jesus told us. He said it's no longer good for anything than what? To be thrown what? On the floor. And then what happened? It will be trampled underfoot by men. You know, before I came to this country, I didn't understand that statement. It didn't make sense to me. Why would you throw it on the floor? Why not just throw it into the sea? Yeah? Or throw it into the bin? Why on the floor so that men can trample? Yeah? Then winter came. You know when winter came? Anybody ever entered winter? Then I appreciated why salt is thrown what? On the floor. Because when I was going to Tesco, and it was icy, I was aiming for the salt. Because I know that once I land on the salt, I'm not likely to sleep. Amen? You will not be salt that is trampled in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah? You will not say, I refuse to be salt that men and devils trample underfoot. Amen. So he says, so that's why he said, so if he died, we are to what? Live for him. You are not giving life to go and live for yourself. This is what I'm trying to say. If you are in Christ, if you're not in Christ, you are free to live for yourself because you already know you're on the expressway to hell. And don't ever deceive yourself. If you are living for yourself, you're on your way to hell. Hallelujah. But if you are in Christ, you are no longer living for what? Yourself. You are living for what? Christ. You know why? Because Christ is your life. Hallelujah. Literally speaking, he gave you life. He sustains that life. I'm talking about spiritual life. I'm talking about the life that Satan cannot overcome is in Christ. Hallelujah. The life that Satan cannot overcome is not in you. It's in where? In Christ. That Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Your righteousness is not in you. It's in Christ. Hallelujah. Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, you can check it. It says, he who knew no sin, he became sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. In him. In him. Hallelujah. Your life is in him. Say, my life, my spiritual life is in Christ. That's why Christ is your life. Do you get it? Because your life is in him. If you are disconnected from him, if you are disengaging with him, yeah, the life is going down. Hallelujah. When a believer stops engaging, they start dying. Amen? If you take a branch, yeah, and you cut it off the stem, what happens? Slowly. It's not immediately. It's a process of dying. Now, if that branch is lucky and you graft it back, can it live again? Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, abide with me. Stay connected with me. Stay intimately connected. Stay engaging with me fully. Engage as though your life depends on it, because it does depend on it. But the reason why you thought it didn't depend on it is because you've not been taught. You've not been taught. You've been told a lie. You've not been told the truth. Hallelujah. The life is in Christ. As I stay engaged with him, the life flows. Hallelujah. I flourish in the life. I no longer live for myself. See, every time I'm living for myself, I'm disengaging. Please understand me. Every time I'm living for myself, what am I doing? I'm disengaging. Is that not what caused the first sin? Is that what caused the first sin? All Lucifer had to do, or the serpent, is take the height of Eve of God and to herself. So basically, what did God say? Yeah? We are still focusing on God, yeah? The moment he said, you shall not surely die, but because God knows that the day you eat, you shall become like God. Knowing it. So basically, he's taking the focus of God to me. That's death. Death starts when I start living for myself and not for Christ. I hope you can see that. Because living for self is a downward slope that leads to spiritual death. Because the life is in him. Hallelujah. To continue to enjoy the life, I must stay actively connected. As though all my life depended on it. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Don't take God for granted, because he is your life. Amen? I hope that's simple enough. He's your life. He's your life. Don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when winter is approaching, and let's assume, like, maybe this is September, October, and God forbid, November. It's happened to me before. Your central heating broke down. It happened to me in November 2022, I think. I just went home, it's not working. And you know that winter is approaching. You go to chase the problem as though your life depended on it. Do you get it? That's what I'm trying to teach you here. Hallelujah. Say, Christ is my life. It's your life. Amen. That's why I said, present your body as a living sacrifice. You are no longer living for yourself, though you are living, but you are living for Him who died for you. He's already paid the biggest price. Yeah? The Son of God was bullied by men when He could have walked away. And He stayed there and went through it all. Yeah? To pay the full price. To redeem you. So there is nothing you can do for Christ that is as much as what Christ did for you. There is nothing you can do for Christ that is more than what Christ did what? For you. But in living for Him, you are staying connected to His life. I want you to understand that. Amen? Amen? Say, I choose to live for Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. We are talking about the temple of God. And I hope I'm just laying that foundation well. And when you came to Christ, God came to live in you. So His life can find full expression in you. But it would not find full expression automatically if you don't cooperate, if you don't yield to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. We're going to have a part 2 of this message, so I will not rush it. I just do as much as I can do until 12:30, then we leave it there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Yes? Who would like to read? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. Yes? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Please pay attention.
1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, reading from NLT. And it says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. I like the way you read that so calmly. Amen. Let's have King James Version, the old King James. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Old King James. Anybody have old King James? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Please listen.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived.
Now, just wait there. I want you to understand that Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is writing to the Corinthian church. He's writing to believers. If you look at the context before, what happened was that they were taking their fellow believers to court. they would take their fellow believer to a secular court to judge a case. And Paul was really chastising them. He said, how can you believers be going before unbelievers to solve your problems? Are there no believers? Is there nobody in church? Is there no pastor, no bishop, nobody that you can go through? You are both believers. You are both members of Christ. You are both subscribing to Christ. You both subscribe to the word of God. But it's an unbeliever that will settle a case between two believers. He says it's a terrible thing. That is the background. And then he now says, don't you know? Basically, if you are living like this, it's an unrighteous lifestyle. And that's why he says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You can check it. You can check, you know, verse 1 to 4. You see the background. He's correcting something in their lifestyle. And he's now warning them. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, don't fool yourself. What does that mean? If I tell someone, don't fool yourself or don't be deceived. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let me try somebody else. So if I tell you something, I said, don't fool yourself. That phrase, what does that mean? Someone help me.
It means you're lying to yourself.
You're lying to yourself. Any other one, don't fool yourself. If I say something happened, I just say, don't fool yourself.
Don't convince yourself that something isn't true.
It is possible. It is possible, and I've seen it. And because I'm a pastor, this is my 13th year pastoring it. It's not my 13th year as a believer. I've been a believer in Christ almost 40 years. But this is my 13th year pastoring. I didn't say I'm 40 years old. I said I've been a believer in Christ almost 40 years. Don't confuse my words, yeah? It is possible for you to convince yourself that a lie is true. And then if you convince yourself that you will be reading the Bible through a tunnel, everything you are seeing, your heart, your mind is not open. It's almost all conformed to everything you believed before. Your belief system. It's like I was listening to a sermon. This was a Nigerian big pastor. And he was like, Jesus saved you to make you very prosperous. I mean, like, if Jesus was not prosperous, how would Judas be stealing from his purse? I thought that's a stretch. Do you have to be very rich before someone steals from your purse? Oh, Jesus was so rich. In fact, the soldiers, his cloth, they could not tear it apart. They had to cast lot for it. The fact that they cast lot for his cloth doesn't mean that cloth was super expensive. It doesn't have to be. If it's good quality, yes, they won't tear it. But more importantly, they could have torn it. They were fulfilling scripture. So mean that they are not tearing it's not just because it was expensive, it's because there was a prophecy. Yeah? Just like, for example, there was a prophecy that none of Jesus' bones will be broken. So when it was time for them to hit his knees with a hammer to break it, because they did it for the other two thieves, something stopped them. Yeah? And instead, they put a spear to his side. It's prophecy that stopped it. Because that is the mind of God concerning the matter. Amen? So if Jesus has so much money, why, when they told him to pay tax, why was he a problem? He said, Peter. You know, Peter was a fisherman before. We want to teach him something about fish that he doesn't know. Amen? Go to the river, put out a hook, not a net this time, yeah, and catch the very first one that comes, open it. You will find what? A coin. As well as a denarius. Yeah? Use it to pay tax for me and you. Do you know what happened there? It's not two coins. It's only what? One coin. And that coin will only pay the tax for what? Two people. Amen? Nothing more. No change. Nothing to say for the next day. Amen? So yes, was Jesus poor? No. His needs were met. Amen? He may not have had a fat savings account, but his needs were what? Met. Whether by the fish or by Joseph of Arimathea in his death. Yeah? You know Jesus technically borrowed the grave. Yeah? You know that? You know he borrowed it. Amen? Earlier, he was there. Yeah? But he left there. Yeah? That means that Joseph could still use it later. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you see, you can convince yourself of a lie. That means you are fooling. You see, the fact that you convince yourself of a lie does not mean it's true. It only means that you are fooling what? Yourself. So I say, don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Say, how can all these people who come to church not go to heaven? You are fooling yourself. Look at the Bible. What did he say? Amen? He says, strive to enter in at the narrow gate. Because there are many who will try to get in, but they would not. It's there, it's in the Bible. The very words of Jesus, the Son of God. Yeah? He said, the road that leads to destruction is broad and wide. Huh? Broad and what? Wide. Then, how many are there? Many. Then he said, the road that leads to life is what? Straight. and narrow. And how many are there? Few. Please, if I have 100 people, can you define for me when I say many of the 100? Give me some numbers. So I have 100 people. He said many of the 100. Yeah? Are on the Broadway. Give me some number. What number? What number will be many? Huh? 80? Any other one? 85? That's many. Is that not many? When you say few. Hallelujah. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So that's why he says strive to enter. Amen? What does strive mean? Does that strive mean that it's not Jesus that died for you? It's Jesus that died for you. Could you ever save yourself? You can't. So where is the striving coming from? Please explain to me. When the Bible says strive to enter through the narrow gate, I'm reading Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 verse 24, 25. Yes, strive. Where's the mic? Let's read it. Let's read it because we're talking about the temple of God. Luke 13. Because you know, when you're preaching a message, it's good to go back to the Word of God and open it and read. Sometimes when people ask me a question, one of the keys is that I find that let's read what the Bible said. Somebody asked me a question about the Bible, I said, let's open it and read. Because sometimes when you just read, you see the answer. Luke 13. Are you there in Luke 13? Verse 23-24. Luke chapter 13, verse 23-24. Yes. Luke 13, 23-24.
Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able.
Amen. Let me just repeat that. So someone came to Jesus and said, Jesus, are there a few people that will be saved? When I say saved, I don't mean born again. I mean people that will get to heaven. We're talking about the final salvation. Not the start, but the end. He said, he that endures to the end shall be what? Saved. Remember, the person that is enduring to the end was already saved, like born again. But we're talking about the final salvation now. Not the start now, but the what? The finish. Are there few that will be saved? Are there few that will make it to heaven? Are there few that will make it into eternal life? On the final count, not the start. Then Jesus said, the answer is, strive. Someone say strive. And do you know why you have to strive? He said it. He said, because many will seek. Now listen to the word. The word is not that many will like to. You know, there are many people that like to go to heaven, but they don't want to, they don't ever come to church. They don't even care about church. But they believe that when they die, they are going where? To heaven. Even when I was in, when my children were in primary school, yeah? Throughout the time the children were engaging with the church, they will never teach them anything about hell, because that's offensive, yeah? It's a church school, by the way. You have to understand, it's a church school. But you understand, you can't tell somebody about heaven if you don't tell them about hell. There's no context. Hello? If we are all going to heaven, why do I need to change anything in my lifestyle? God is good, He loves us all. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Yeah? It doesn't matter if they lie, if they cheat, if they swear, if they are nasty, if they are stubborn, if they say, even some of them say, I don't believe in God. Yeah? Are you with me? Even one of them said, when I grow up, I'm going to marry my female friend. So it's a girl saying, I'm going to marry my friend. She's saying that in school. I heard it. But they're all going to where? Heaven. Because there's no hell. Are you understanding? Why is there no hell? Nobody ever. They do Bible study from the church, but hell does not, is never mentioned because it's offensive. So heaven makes no sense. Please understand me. If hell is out of the picture, heaven makes what? No sense. So the person that doesn't come to church is as good as the person that came to church. We are all going to heaven. It's a lie. Big lie. Don't deceive yourself. Don't ever fool yourself. Don't ever fool yourself. Are you with me? That's why he says strive. Many we seek. I'm not even talking about many we like. There are many who like to go to heaven. Even the worst person wants to believe that there's some goodness in them that God will see. And because God is merciful, yeah, he will put them to heaven. They are not seeking to enter. They are just wishing. They're not even wishing. They just believe wrongly. But let's leave those ones because those ones are not even started. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, someone said, you know, come to church. I said, I don't have time. Give to God. That's the last thing I want to use my money for now. Yeah? But they believe that going to heaven, they have deceived what? Themselves. But that's not the issue. The issue, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those who are seeking. You know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. He said, many we seek. Not many we like. Many we want. Seek. But they will not be able to enter. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because they are living for themselves. Amen? They just want to go to heaven because heaven is a nice place. Just like having a big mansion by the sea side. Are you with me? They don't really want the Christ lifestyle. They see Christ, that's not the type of person I want to be. Amen? You see, that's why you read your Bible. Read the Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at Christ. See whether that's the type of person you want to be. If you don't want to be like that, you have a serious problem. You're not on your way. Amen? Because Christ is not your cornerstone. See, when you read Christ, you say, Lord, this is the person I want to be like. You see his character. You see his love. You see his consecration, his holiness. You see his power, his authority. You say, yes, that's the person I want to be. Amen. Amen. But if you don't want to be like that, then you're not living for Christ. You're living for self. Amen. I hope you can see what I'm trying to show you. Amen. So question is, what does it mean to strive? It says strive to enter. When you say you should strive, what does that mean? Where's the mic? Mike? Can you pass it to your sister? What does it mean to strive? When you say strive to enter, what does it mean?
Work hard.
Work hard? Yes, I like it. It's good. More? It's not the perfect definition, but work hard is good. Strive to enter. What does it mean?
Do your best.
Do your best! I like that. Any other one? Anybody can improve on that?
Focus.
Focus! Thank you. I found maybe say something.
Do what it takes.
Do what? Do everything. You know, you just do what? Me, I put, I added. Do everything it takes. Is actually where I will stop there on that definition. Do everything it takes. You have found life, yeah? Have you even found life? You found life in Christ, isn't it? Amen? Where have you found life? Do everything it takes to abide faithfully in Him. And I tell you, the key word is faithful. Amen? What's the key word? Faithful. A man betroths a woman or engages a woman, then goes on a journey. He's coming back for his bride. What is he looking for? Faithful. That contract can be broken the day he hears that she is what? Unfaithful. When I say faithful, I mean it's a matter of the heart. Do everything it takes. Give him your best. Someone said give him. Someone said best. Someone said best. Anybody told me best? Was it you? Give him your best. Sometimes that best could be in your punctuality. Yeah? Give him your best. Why will you give him second best? You're going for your visa appointment or passport. Will you go late? Give him your best. Why are you treating him like he's a second fiddle? Give him your best. We want to go for our teacher to preach to others. If you can make it, be there. Yeah, it's part of giving him what? Your best. I know probably you won't have enough sleep. It's part of it. Amen? It's part of it. Giving what? Your best. Someone got you angry. Someone treated you bad. He said, you never forgive them. You're not on your way to heaven. Amen. You know why? You're thinking of yourself. You're not thinking of Christ. Amen. You see, you may not forgive them because of what they did to you, but forgive them because of Jesus. Why will you forgive them? Because of Jesus. Because of what? Say, when I look at the cross, that's it. You see Jesus. Say, you can even tell them, say, if it was for you, your sake, I won't forgive you. But because of Jesus, I let you go. Amen. What are you doing? You are doing everything it takes. Amen. You see that? The rivers you are taking God for granted. Hell is full of people who took God for what? Granted. They deceived themselves. You okay? Amen. Let me see how we're doing time. Yes, 5 more minutes, I will round up. Now somebody said, you know what, Pastor, why are you giving us this hour, someone? Because that is what you need for your soul. This is real food. The alternative is just to be giving you ice cream. Amen? Ice cream, you feel good. But it will never, never build you up. Someone said, why don't you just speak about the love of God? But the love, you don't understand love. Love, the love of God means that you stay away from sin. Amen? Pure love does not want to mess with moral corruption. Someone else says, teach us faith. But what is faith without faithfulness? Amen? What is faith without what? You trust God, but does God trust you? Amen? Can God commit something to your hand and say, take care of that for me? Huh? And nobody is watching, because I know some people would respond to eye service. Amen? Let's go back and finish 1 Corinthians 9. I'll do a part 2 next week. And I advise you, come and listen to food that we... You see, if my concern is just I want a lot of people in church and I want also have a nice time, I don't care about whether you're going to heaven, yeah? I won't preach like this. Amen. Even preaching like this is the difficult way. It is the difficult way. It's much easier to just have a nice time. Yeah? Yeah? Find ways to excite ourselves. Yeah? Excite you. So long the money is coming in, yeah? I'm happy. But that's the easy way, even for the pastor. But the difficult way is that I want you to make it to heaven. Amen? I don't want you to come to church and end up in hell. Because Bible says many. Somebody say many. You see, it's like when you read the Bible, you don't pay attention. He said many. And many times, you are looking around at the many. And say, oh well, but everybody is not like that. But those are the many that are on their way to destruction. Who said? Christ. Yeah? So that means that if I want to know the people on their way to life, I must look for the few. Not the many. You know, Labour Party said, for the many, not the few. But Bible said what? For the few, not the many. Everyone is for the few. Amen? Everyone is for those who do everything it takes. Now someone say, you know what, doesn't mean I'll be perfect. No. But it means that you are going for perfection. There's a difference. Yeah, perfect means that you don't make any mistakes. But you are human, you will make mistakes. You see, when you are on the way to heaven, every time you drift, someone say, what does it take to be lost? Someone say, you know what? But, okay, what about this man of God? He's doing all these things and God is still working in their lives. I tell you something, God can call somebody and they can miss their way. Please understand me. God can genuinely call somebody. Somebody can start right. Yeah? And somewhere along the line, while you were sleeping, they missed their way. Now, the fact that somebody missed their way does not mean they are automatically lost. But the fact that somebody missed their way is that they are at risk of being lost. Unless they retrace back what? Their step. I want you to understand. There's a difference between missing your way and being totally lost. However, if you miss your way and you refuse to retrace your step, then you're on your way to being what? Lost. It doesn't matter if you started well. Are you understanding me? Now, let's apply it to ourselves. When I miss my way, and I'm not even talking about you, because as you are dead to, you've missed your way. I'm not talking to everybody, I'm talking to somebody. You've missed what? Your way. Get back on track. Amen. Don't fool yourself. That's the key word there. Don't ever fool yourself. Yeah? Because every time you first miss your way, your conscience will tell you, boop! It's a beeper. Amen? What do you call it? Is it a beeper or a buzzer? What? It's a blip. There's beep, there's buzz, there's blip. Amen? You don't want to be on admission. Okay? I don't pray for you to be on admission in the hospital. Because you hear all the beep and the buzz and the blip. Amen? When you miss your way, your conscience will give you a blip or a buzz. Yeah? Don't bury. Don't go and find some friends and say, please come and listen. This thing I did. How bad is it? There's nothing bad. There are even people that even did worse than that. What's wrong with your pastor? Then you will silence the beep in your heart. Huh? You missed what? Your way. And you see the problem? You missed your way and you did nothing about it. So long you don't do anything about missing your way, you will end up lost. Amen? But you see, you're in your car, you're in your sat nav, and you missed your way. I don't know whether you're like me. I mean, it's a car and my sat nav says, turn where? Third exit. Or fourth exit. So I was counting. 1, 2, 3. But some exits are funny, yeah? I counted 4. But I was actually 5th. I've missed one. And before I knew it, boom, I'm on the other way. I was like, what should I do? Those are the moments you lead someone by your side. Say, what should I do now? Particularly, there are ones that there's no way to turn around. Yeah. When you miss your way, you are looking for the next instruction that will guide you back to your way. Sometimes missing your way, it may be a quick. Sometimes you miss your way, it may be a quick fix. Some other times, if you miss the exit of motorway or whatever, it may cost you another, 10, 15 minutes to get back your way. But whatever it takes, what? Get back. On the way. That is the guarantee that you will make it safely home. Let's rise up.